entirety of the chapter tonight. I am trying to stick to my plan of covering each lecture of wisdom from the Father in Proverbs to the Son, or the address of wisdom. And that means we won't be able to go into as much detail, but some of these same themes come up again and again, so we'll be able to hit them more than one time and cross-reference back. But if you'll follow along, I'm going to read the entirety of chapter 2, and as we do, I want to kind of lay out the flow of the passage for us. Three times, I think it is, specifically in the first four verses, the word "if" shows up, but it's actually implied or stated eight times. So verses 1 through 4, there's this "if." If this happens, and then if you look at verse 5, what's the first word there? Then. And then look at verse 9, first word there, then. So if this, then. And then when you get down to verse 12, the ESV says delivering you from the evil way, for the way of evil. If you look down to verse 16, it says so you will be delivered. You could translate verse 12 the same way, so you will be delivered, okay? Some translations say to deliver you, and to deliver you at the next verse there. So you've got if this, verses 1 through 4, then this, and then there's these purpose statements, all right? So you will be delivered, so you will be delivered, verse 16, and then verse 20, another word, but also has to do with purpose, so you will walk in the way of the good. So as we read through this, you know the structure is if this, then, and then there are these purposes for all of this. So follow along as we read. Verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then, and this is parallel to the then in verse 5, you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you. So you will be delivered, you could say, from the evil way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word that is given to us as your people. Thank you that we come to this portion of your word in these last days where you have fully revealed yourself in your Son. And thank you that you have given us, you've taught us to fear your name through redemption in Christ. We pray that as we work through this passage, that you would continue to instruct us on what it looks like to learn wisdom through the fear of you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Proverbs is all about learning wisdom, that is to learn to live according to the design that God has baked into all of life, learning to cut through life with the grain of God's design, learning to live in God's creation according to his blueprint, not ours. But again, I want to raise the question, and I want to keep raising this and coming at it again and again throughout this series. How does this relate to redemption and God's word? Is Proverbs a moralistic therapeutic self-help book. Well, remember the whole theme of Proverbs. It isn't just about learning wisdom or God's design to live by it. It's learning wisdom through the fear of the Lord. It's learning wisdom through the fear of the Lord. It has to do with learning to live according to God's design through fearing Him. And to unpack that again a bit this evening, let me remind you of what we considered last week. We learned that God's design in His world can be personified and is personified by Lady Wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And if you look at chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, we read this last week. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street she cries out, at the entrance of the city gate she speaks. So wisdom has a public, accessible call to all people and general revelation about God in His creation. So what does learning wisdom in the book of Proverbs have to do with redemption? How does Proverbs point us to Jesus as our only hope? Well, if Lady Wisdom is the personification of God's design, His norms in creation, the structure, the grain of wood, the rationality that God has given His creation, then to know wisdom refers to living according to God's design in all of life. And to know wisdom, that is to live according to God's design in all of life, is a primary purpose of this book. What's going on here? I touched it earlier and I messed something up, I think. Where is this design observed? Well, the emphasis in Proverbs is on the design of God observed in general revelation, that is, in creation specifically. General revelation through creation indeed has a wider scope than Scripture. General revelation through creation has a broader scope, but not the same clarity as special revelation of God's Word that we have written verbal revelation. Special revelation is clearer and reveals information that general revelation is not able to give to us, like who God is, what's His name, who's His son, how can we be redeemed from our sin. Our conscience tells us there's right and wrong, and we're not living according to it, right? Special revelation gives us everything we need to know about spiritual life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ, but it does not give us all we need to know about life. A biblical worldview understands that there is knowledge that God reveals through His creation outside of Scripture. Scripture always has the priority for interpreting whatever we think we found in general revelation, because it's verbal and it's clear. Nevertheless, if we are to live wisely in this world, we must give attention to the design, structure, rationality that God has undergirded His creation with. So Proverbs calls us to live according to that design, to live wisely in all of life. But, and really, because all of humanity is made in God's image, we can all observe aspects of God's divine or His design through general revelation. But there's a big problem. Before being redeemed by nature, every single one of us, we're told, Romans 1, suppresses the knowledge of God with our unrighteousness. We don't actually want God to be who He is, truly, because that would infend and encroach on our lives and what we love that's disordered. We see this concept of suppression in Romans 1, and let me remind you of that. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. That means they did not fear Him. That's another way you could say that. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So what is the solution for this suppression of God's reality and His creational design? What's the solution? The solution is redemption through Christ, right? As revealed in Scripture. That's where you learn about Christ. Redeemed people come to fear the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the chief part of wisdom. So, that's how it is connected. We're progressing into the second lecture of wisdom from the father to his son in Proverbs. And let's just remind ourselves of what we've seen so far to set us up for the next step in learning wisdom. And I just want to remind us that every one of these lectures on wisdom are preparing us for the topics that you're most familiar with in terms of Proverbs, as you get later in the book, these short, pithy statements. That's preparing us to receive these things. We learned that learning wisdom through the fear of the Lord has these purposes for everyone: to personally experience skillful living, to personally experience discipline, to discern discerning words, to receive instruction in prudent living. And if you, this is from the purposes of the book back in chapter 1, verses 2 through 7, or 2 through 6. For the gullible, it is to give shrewdness. For youth, it is to give them discernment in planning. For the wise, because wise people need to grow in wisdom still, is to hear and increase in wisdom. And again, chapter 1, verse 7 teaches that the beginning or the chief part of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. In the first lecture from the Father to the Son on wisdom, we learn this: a life adorned by wisdom comes from listening to wise instruction rather than self-destructive enticement of sinners. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Verse 10 of chapter 1. Last week, we looked at chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, and we considered the public and accessible call of wisdom in God's creational design. Those who fear the Lord respond to wisdom's call to live according to God's design in His world. So the purpose of this book is that we might learn wisdom through the fear of the Lord. That requires listening to wise counsel rather than going the way of those working against God's design. And it turns out that beyond listening to those who wisely point us to God's design in His world and His word, we should also carefully be listening to the public and accessible, listening carefully to the public and accessible call of Lady Wisdom throughout all of life. So here's the idea. We should look at general revelation and carefully observe how God has made things work according to His design. And at the heart of doing so is the fear of the Lord, which requires redemption, right? And that comes through the Word of God. So with that review, really, the reality is this is going to drive us to Scripture. It's going to drive us to look at all of the world through the lens of Scripture in the fear of God to see the design of God. So with that review, the question that our passage answers tonight is this: if I'm to respond to wisdom's call to live according to God's design in the world, what's my part in hearing wisdom's call? Right? What's my part? Is that kind of a passive thing? I mean, it's out there. It's a loud, accessible call. Right? Does that mean I can just passively, I can't avoid it, so I just passively hear it? Is that what's going on? Well, wisdom's call is public and accessible, but not everyone listens to wisdom. You know, I use the illustration, it's a negative illustration, but I'm trying to say it positively, of a person who comes on a packed out subway car in New York City who wants to address everybody, and that's normally not very wise what they're saying, but you can't really not notice that they're doing it. But you know what? You can put noise-canceling earphones on, and you can at least muffle some of it, right? It turns out that just because wisdom's call is public and accessible, not everyone is really trying to engage with it. The reality is, it's public and accessible, but as we'll see, wisdom can also be hidden because of man's rebellion against God and the condition of the fall. You might say that wisdom is hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. It's calling out, but it's hidden in plain sight. Think about the last time you were looking for something, when you found it, and it was in an obvious place. You might say, it was staring me in the face even though I didn't see it. It was hidden in plain sight. That's often when you can't find it, right? That's the nature of God's design in His world. It's a public and accessible design, but there's a call to wisdom, but there's also a sense in which it's hidden in plain sight. In order to find that thing hidden in plain sight, what did you have to do? You had to actually hunt for it. You had to look for it. You had to move past the easy way of trying to find it. You had to do everything you could to find it. And that's what our passage challenges us to do with wisdom. It challenges us to pursue what is hidden in plain sight. Hidden because of our weakness and fallen conditions around us. Wisdom's call is public and accessible. There's a sense in which you can't avoid it. You either live according to God's design or you live against God's design. But because of our sinful condition and the conditions of sin in this world, we need to pursue this wisdom which is hidden in plain sight. What does pursuing wisdom hidden in plain sight look like? That's what this passage addresses and then explains the purposes God has for wisdom. We're supposed to pursue it, and here are the purposes that we're given for that. So here's our theme. Pursue wisdom because the Lord purposefully gives it to those he enables to fear him. Pursue wisdom because the Lord purposefully gives it to those he enables to fear him. Again, Proverbs is about learning wisdom through the fear of the Lord. And to learn wisdom, even though God's design is publicly accessible, we must pursue it because it is hidden in plain sight. Be encouraged. God does give wisdom. But be challenged. God does give wisdom, but we must pursue it. What does this pursuit look like? Well, look at verses 1 through 11. And we see this, our necessary pursuit of wisdom. Our necessary pursuit of wisdom. And as we work through these verses, we need to ask this question, where must we pursue wisdom? Now, we've been talking about wisdom in Proverbs, referring to God's design in creation, but that doesn't mean that wisdom in Proverbs has nothing to do with God's Word and His design revealed in God's Word. Remember, anything Scripture teaches is God's design, right? Very specifically, it's God's design. So God commands us to do this or that because it's His design for us to do in His creation. So to pursue wisdom, that is to live according to God's design in God's world, is going to have to do with pursuing wisdom everywhere it's revealed. General revelation is less clear but has a broader scope of revelation about God's design. Special revelation, today God's Word, is clear but has a narrower scope of the revelation about God's design. And yet Scripture is where we learn to fear God by being redeemed through Christ. And the fear of God is the chief part of all wisdom. So this pursuit of wisdom, our necessary pursuit of wisdom, will involve pursuing wisdom both in creation and crucially in Scripture. Recognizing that revelation of God's wisdom in Scripture will be foundational to everything we observe anywhere. Right? It's the lens by which we are able to accurately interpret what we see of God's design in God's creation. So first, this necessary pursuit of wisdom requires the disciplined pursuit of wisdom. The disciplined pursuit of wisdom. Or you could say, the active pursuit of wisdom. I mean, can't really think of any more active ways of saying actively pursue wisdom than what verses 1 through 4 say. Look at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, you can hear these active statements being given. If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then, verse 5, then verse 9, and then for these purposes, the rest of the chapter teaches us. So our pursuit of wisdom requires receiving, treasuring, being attentive, inclining, calling out, raising your voice, seeking, and searching. That sounds pretty active, doesn't it? That's not passive. It's a public accessible call, but it's hidden in plain sight. We actually do have to actively pursue God's wisdom. That sounds like a disciplined, active pursuit of wisdom. Now, keep in mind that this is a father speaking to his son. And so when he says, for example, look at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, whose commandments are those? This is not a trick question. Whose commandments are those? It's a father speaking to his son. Whose commandments are those? It's a father's commandments, all right? But let's talk about that for a second. It turns out this father's commandments are inspired words of God, right? So keep that in mind. And this father is saying that his son is to receive his words and treasure up his commands. They are his commands, but they are his commands and words based on God's design. The father's words and instructions are wise because they're according to God's design. Words that are informed by his fear of the Lord flowing from his word-dependent, redeemed heart. Words that are influenced by Scripture to interpret the design of God in creation rightly. Words that have come to recognize God's ways in God's world. And if the son is to be wise in a full-orbed way of fearing the Lord as the chief part of wisdom, he is to receive his father's words about God's design as revealed both generally in creation and specifically in Scripture. So really, if we are to pursue wisdom that is living according to God's design in God's world, then we will have to do this. And this, it does have to do with the Word of God, and it does have to do with his design revealed throughout creation. We'll have to do this. We'll have to listen carefully to wisdom. Listen carefully to wisdom. That summarizes the first few active pursuits of wisdom that we're supposed to have. Look at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. So let's walk through this. Listening carefully to wisdom requires receiving wise words. Remember, a primary purpose of this book, if you look back at chapter 1, verse 3, is to receive instruction in wise dealing. So what does it take to be someone who receives wise words of instruction from others? What does that take? Well, you have to have a conviction about yourself. You have to have this conviction, I don't know everything. I can learn from others. I need to grow in wisdom. To receive wise words about living according to God's design, you have to assume that you're not living according to God's design in every area of your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to listen to anything. You already got it figured out. You have to be humble enough. I have to be humble enough to receive wise words. You have to have a very, very different view of things than a prototypical Disney movie that says all the answers are inside of you. Are you confused? Then find out the answer. Look within, right? No, you're not the answer. God's design is the answer. And we need to be humble enough to receive wise words about God's design and how to live according to it. Listen carefully to wisdom. Doing so also involves treasuring up wise commandments. Look what it says there. And treasure up my commandments with you. The psalmist understood this regarding the word of God. Psalm 119:11, I have stored up, I've treasured up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. One author pointed out, if receiving wise words requires humility, then treasuring wise commands requires revaluing what is truly valuable. If you don't value wisdom, then you're not going to treasure it up. It's going to be nothing to you. Pursuing wisdom requires being intentional and purposeful with your pursuit of wisdom. It involves treasuring it up and storing it up. Not just hearing it and moving on, but storing it up, treasuring God's wisdom. Think of any area in your life that you are very intentional in, your job, organizing things, your hobby, cleaning, whatever it is. Think about the preparation that you put into that, the intentionality you have with that. Now ask yourself this question, are you just as careful or more careful to treasure and store up wisdom you discover? Each week we gather to study God's Word together and we look at portions of God's Word, and if we're faithful to Scripture, if I'm faithfully explaining it, if you're hearing it faithfully explained in other classes, then you're hearing the wisdom of God, right? How are you storing that up? I've found it helpful. I wish I had done this throughout my whole ministry, and certainly it can be time-consuming at times, and certainly, it might be a year from now I struggle to do this, but there are, you know, I've found it helpful that I go back and try to periodically work through the passages that we've looked at together with the outline and the passage and pray it to the Lord. That's a way to remind myself of the wisdom we've discovered in God's Word and actually have to seek the Lord and continue to live that out. How are you storing up the Word of God, storing up the wisdom that you have learned? Jay Adams put it this way, to learn is not only in the sense of being able to repeat verses parrot-like, but to be able to recall the substance of that teaching in times when it's needed for analyzing situations, making decisions, answering questions. how are we treasuring up commandments that are in harmony with God's design? Listening carefully to wisdom also involves being attentive to wisdom. Verse 2 says, making your ear attentive to wisdom. That's to cause, to attend to our, or to listen to. Young people, your parents often say to you probably, are you listening to me? Did you hear me? You need to listen to what I'm saying. Do you regularly hear your parents say to you, if you had been listening, you would have understood what I'm talking about, but your mind was somewhere else? Have you ever heard that in your home? I'm pretty confident you have. You wouldn't believe the amount of discipline it takes for your parents to say that again and again to you. They are pointing out that you were not attentive to their words. Well, guess what? That's a characteristic of young people. That was characteristic of your parents when they were young. And if they are wise today, they eventually learned that they had to carefully listen to wise counsel and not be somewhere else when it was being given. They had to learn to pay attention to the words of wisdom carefully, and it took wise people repeatedly calling them to listen to wisdom. Don't dismiss the fact that you keep hearing your parents or others say to you, you need to pay attention to what is being told to you. This is really important. Part of growing in wisdom is learning to pay attention to wise words and not devalue them, by being distracted or disinterested. What if you spend a lot of your youth with your mind somewhere else when there are people who love you giving you wisdom that will bear fruit the rest of your life? Pay attention. Think of it like this. We all know what it's like to talk to someone but be distracted by something else. We're hearing what's being said but not fully grasping it. And if they said, are you listening to me? We'd be able to say, yeah, I'm listening. And we could repeat back the words but have no understanding of what was going on. Why? Because we were somewhere else, right? We don't want to be that way when it comes to words of wisdom. 1 Samuel 15:22 uses this word. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Speaking of Judah, Zechariah says this sadly, Zechariah 7:11, but they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. That's the wrong way when it comes to wisdom. Listening carefully to wisdom also involves inclining our hearts to understanding. Verse 2 makes that point. This goes right along with truly listening to wisdom, truly being inclined toward wisdom, not just externally hearing it, but being engaged. Think of that conversation again when you're having with someone and you're finding yourself having a hard time engaging with them on that conversation and you're distracted, you're hearing it, but you're not really inclined to the conversation. This is saying, be inclined to wisdom with your heart. Yes, we must be careful to listen to wisdom, but we also need to earnestly seek wisdom. Look at verse 3. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. The picture is someone in a situation where they're calling out for help, for deliverance. But in this case, someone is pursuing wisdom with the same earnest intensity. Years ago, when we were in Long Island, there was a Sunday morning where we started smelling something in the service, and we couldn't figure out what it was, and then we realized it was smoke. And so we said, all right, everything stops, everybody out of the building, and several of us men were running throughout the whole building trying to figure out where is this coming from, and we could not find it, but we were searching for it earnestly. Eventually found out it was an AC handler issue. We couldn't find it. We had to call the fire department and figure it all out, but we're supposed to be earnestly searching for wisdom like we were earnestly searching for the source of that smell in that building. And calling out, right? Have that kind of intensity. Look at verse 3 again. It says, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Verse 4, we must carefully listen to wisdom, earnestly seek wisdom, and also value wisdom. Verse 4, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. our pursuit of wisdom has to be because we value wisdom like silver and hidden treasures. Think of how when you value something, you will go to great lengths to acquire it. You are challenged here, and so am I, to value wisdom like that. Now, what will happen if you carefully listen to, earnestly seek, and value wisdom in this way? Well, verses 5 through 11 give us two main results. Verses 1 through 4 says, if, three times, it's implied or stated eight times, so if you pursue wisdom in these ways, then verse 5, you will understand something, then verse 9, you will understand something. So the results, next, of pursuing wisdom. If you pursue wisdom with this kind of activity, if you pursue wisdom both in Scripture and all of creation, then you can expect, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then it goes on to speak of the Lord's care for His people, and crucially, that He's the one that gives wisdom, and we'll talk about that. So the first result is this, understanding the fear of the Lord and His care. Understanding the fear of the Lord and His care. You actually have to want to know wisdom in order to have the chief part of wisdom, which enables you to have wisdom. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. So if we pursue wisdom and seek to understand God's design in His world through general revelation in Scripture, which specifically identifies His design in His world, then we will understand the fear of the Lord and His care. We'll have a true understanding of the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wholeheartedly seeking God's design to live according to His ways in His world is inseparable from the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of Him. If you want to live wisely, you have to seek wisdom, which will result in understanding the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord, which is the chief part of all wisdom. If that sounds circular, there is some circularity to that. And you know why? It's because God graciously sets the circle up in undeserving hearts. In fact, notice what verse 5 through 6 says. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. In other words, pursue wisdom, and then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And if you want an explanation of how that works, it's the Lord who gives wisdom. That's how it happens. He graciously bestows wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So to truly seek wisdom is to seek the grace of God to give you an understanding of His design and His world. Again, unbelievers can even believers can stumble upon God's ways and God's world and not be seeking God as they do so. But to truly live according to God's design, you can't do something in creation according to God's design. You can't seek the God of wisdom, the God of the design, without fearing Him. To live out one aspect of God's design and do so in harmony with His ultimate designs is in His world. You have to fear and know Him. Again, verse 5, then, if you are actively pursuing it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Why? For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And what does God do for people who store up wisdom that He gives? Verse 7, this is interesting. What does God do for people who store up the wisdom He gives? He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. So a result of pursuing wisdom is understanding the fear of the Lord and His care for you as His child. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He guards the paths of justice and watches over your way as one of His people. The second result, and we don't have time to really compare and contrast, but they're very much mutually parallel here. The second result is in verse 9. If you seek wisdom in this way, verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. understanding will guard you. Do you see God's care for his people as a result of wisdom in their life? Right? He's their shield. And parallel is this, that when they seek the Lord in wisdom, then wisdom will actually, discretion will be watching over you. Understanding will guard you. So God employs his design for in his care for you. That's the idea here. You see, understanding righteousness and its benefits, that would be the next result. Understanding righteousness and its benefits. It's important to see that the result of seeking wisdom in verses 5 through 8 is further explained in its ramifications in this result. If you seek wisdom, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and his care for you. And, verses 9 through 11, you will understand righteousness and its benefits for you. Notice that if someone is to understand righteousness, justice, and equity, they have to be seeking wisdom, and the chief part of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, this is really, really important. This is so practical for when you hear the word just in our society. That's not just. That's an injustice. Is this a favorite word of our culture? It is. How's it being defined? How do you know if it's being defined the right way? How would someone define that consistently the right way? What's the path to that? Well, all of this is a result of God's gracious gift. We know from the New Testament fullness that this gracious gift comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why when you have a culture that increasingly has no fear of God, that culture cannot rightly identify what is just and equitable. They just simply can't. They don't have the framework to do it. It's impossible. If someone does not fear God, if they are not seeking his wisdom, his design, then whenever they talk about justice and equity in a kind of comprehensive way beyond a little slice, they will passionately argue this or that is just, and they will often be distorting true justice. Why? Because they don't fear God. Understanding righteousness and justice results from seeking wisdom, from fearing God, from being the object of his gracious redemption. And if you seek wisdom in this way, and you therefore understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path, then you will come to know the benefits of these things. That's what this passage is saying. And what are those benefits? Look at verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. You'll have the benefit of discretion watching over you, of understanding guarding you. When you seek wisdom and live according to God's design, you are fearing him by faith, and you know his care for you as his child, and that care for you even comes through living according to design in his world, which has these benefits. Again, discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you. Now, before we move on to God's purposes through wisdom, I want to point out that our desire to know wisdom and seeking after really, wisdom and to seek after it results in coming to know wisdom. And keep in mind that God is the one that gives that. But the point is this. If we want to know wisdom, we have to want to know wisdom. We have to want to. It's very much like John 7:17. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. This is Jesus saying to people who are questioning whether or not he's speaking the word of God. He says, well, if you want to do God's will, then you'll recognize what I'm saying is God's word. But if you don't want to do God's will, then you're not going to recognize what I'm saying is God's word. You see? Your disposition toward what you want impacts what you see and grasp. John 8:46, which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you're not of God. In terms of Proverbs, seeing the design of God as God intends requires wanting to see the design of God. It requires seeking after it. If someone doesn't want to see and understand the way God designed life to be lived in his world, then they're not going to discover it. And if anyone ever does desire this, why will it be? Because God is gracious. And he works in the hearts of undeserving sinners. He bestows wisdom. It'll be because God uses His word in their lives to teach them to fear Him. It'll be because God is the one that gives wisdom. And it'll be in the context of redemption. Now, we'll move quickly through the second part of this chapter because these themes will keep coming up. But what we want to see is that in verses 1 through 11, this is what it looks like for us to pursue wisdom and the results of that. Pursue wisdom actively. What will be the result of that? Then you'll fear the Lord. Why? Because God gives wisdom. God's the one that does all of this in your heart. And then you're going to understand justice and righteousness and have all the benefits of that. That in a fallen world, that things don't always go according to design, right? Within Proverbs, we understand that. But this is God's design, it's saying. Now we see the purposes God has for wisdom in our lives. And these verses, again, have a very clear structure to them. I tried to show it to you. If you look at verse 12, the ESV says, delivering you from the way of evil. But you could say, just like verse 16, because it's the same construction, so you will be delivered. Verse 16, so you will be delivered. Verse 20, so you will walk. And these are the purposes of God has for wisdom. So let's walk through these. Seek wisdom. Here are the results. Here are the purposes God has for you in this. God's purposes of deliverance through wisdom. First of all, God's purposes of deliverance through wisdom. Diligently seek wisdom. Why? Because you want to know God and His care for you, and you want to know righteousness and its benefits for you. And God has these purposes of deliverance for you through wisdom. And by the way, I'm saying God's purposes, even though the Father is speaking to the Son, because He's speaking according to God's design. And He's saying, if you do this, then these are the purposes for grasping wisdom. And He's saying, this is God's purposes for you in wisdom. First of all, to deliver you from evil men. To deliver you from evil men. Seek wisdom. Be inclined to wisdom. And this will be, so this will have the has the purpose of delivering you from evil men. It will be the result of this. And this is the amazing thing. Young people, this is really important. If you will, from an early age, seek wisdom and follow after the Lord and fear Him, It will deliver you from things that you will never know you were delivered from, really. There'll be moments in life that you'll go, oh, that's what, I've never dealt with that. Why? Because I was delivered from that. Now, listen, you follow after the Lord with all your heart, you might really get into some hard things in life, and because it is a fallen world. But I can assure you, just because your life is not going to always be easy because you follow after the Lord, that certainly is not the case. Jesus went to the cross for doing the right thing, right? But I can assure you, if you follow after the Lord's design, it will deliver you from some things that you otherwise would have faced. Look at verse 12. Then you will be delivered, or so you will be delivered, from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked. Now, just think about that. Crooked. What do you like? So that must mean there are straight paths, right? Whose are those paths? Those are paths of wisdom, right? And who are devious in their ways. So let's just think back through this. If you actually seek wisdom, then you're going to be protected from these crooked ways. These devious ways. You're not going to rejoice in evil, but in what is right. Your path will be straight, not crooked. Your ways will not be devious, but sincere. And the point here is that you'll be delivered from those who are all those things that go against God's design. You're not going to be inclined to be confused by those things because you're on a different track. Now, here's one purpose of deliverance God has for you as you seek His wisdom. Delivering you from the evil way of evil, verse 12, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. But also, he has this purpose, and that is to deliver you from evil women, specifically. Verses 16 through 19. From evil men, from evil women. Now, this is introducing an important theme that shows up several more times throughout the opening nine chapters of this book. And as we work through these passages, we really need to be thinking on two levels, okay? First, wisdom says to avoid evil women who are sexually seductive. And just like wisdom delivers from evil, perverse, violent men whose ways are crooked, so wisdom delivers from evil women who are sexually seductive and want to go against God's design of marriage and intimacy. But there is another level as well. And as we continue through the book, we're going to see a contrast between Lady Wisdom and Lady who? Folly. Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly. And Lady Folly is calling in the streets. Lady Folly and evil women who are seeking to be sexually seductive are paired together on multiple occasions. So when this theme comes up, it is literally a warning against the dangers of evil women and sexual seduction. But it's also contrasting the call of wisdom with the call of folly. One of the purposes of God and wisdom is to deliver from evil women. And in contrast to Lady Wisdom, God's purpose for wisdom is to deliver you from folly. Yes, the folly of sexual sin, but also all folly. Last week we talked about the public and accessible call of wisdom. Well, as you keep going through the book of Proverbs, there's a public and accessible call of folly. Verse 16, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. You can see how this evil woman goes against God's design. She is the forbidden woman, that is, a stranger. That's the word. Adulteress means foreigner. Now, this is not saying they were non-Israelite women. It's saying this, that they are living in opposition to God's design. A woman who is a stranger, not one's wife. Stranger in that sense. Foreign to what should be going on in that marriage, because she is outside of the marriage covenant. Verse 17, she forsakes the companion of her youth, that is her husband. She forgets the covenant of her God, that is, she forgets the covenant of marriage that she's made her husband with her husband before God. Malachi 2:14 defines marriage in terms of a covenant. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Where does this evil lead to? Verse 18. For her house sinks down to death, her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. She leads to destruction. Just like all folly, it ultimately leads to destruction. Wisdom is designed to deliver from folly, from evil men, from seductive women, and the destruction that comes from those who are taken in by their ways. And finally, we see God's purpose of fulfilled promise through wisdom. God's purpose of fulfilled promise through wisdom. Look at verse 20. So God is calling you to seek after wisdom, and he's using wise people to encourage you in this way, like a father instructing his son. And what's the purpose of this? Not just to deliver from evil men and women, but also because living according to his design will be the path upon which promises are fulfilled. Look at verse 20. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. If you seek wisdom, right, God is gracious. He gives wisdom. He teaches hearts to fear him. He redeems. He gives wisdom for these purposes, and you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. Verse 21, for the upright will inherit the land, and those who with integrity will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Now that shows you the original context of Proverbs is the Old Covenant, right? In this sense, this is talking about the Mosaic Covenant, and it has to do with Israel and the land promise. The promise of blessing and curse under that covenant with the land promise. And so if you just take that idea that principle, you understand that God's purpose for wisdom is so that God's people might actually experience the promised blessings that he has said and fulfilled promises. God calls us to seek his wisdom so that we might know him and care his care for us and know righteousness and its benefits in this life for the purpose of being delivered from evil men and women in this life, and also that we might enter into our promised, you could say, inheritance, right, from a New Testament perspective. In other words, seek wisdom because living according to God's design is what it looks like to run the race of faith until the end. God's purpose is for us to live according to his design, yes, imperfectly, but progressively, like we talked about this morning, until we see Jesus face to face and we enter our promised inheritance. So, folks, this is the theme of this chapter. We are to pursue wisdom because the Lord purposefully gives it to those he enables to fear him. So this week, we're going to go through this whole week, and this whole week, there's going to be a public, accessible call of wisdom. All right? If you don't know Jesus, if you've never trusted in Jesus, by nature, you're going to suppress that. You need redemption. You need to trust in Christ alone. You need to be taught to fear the Lord. If you know Christ, you're actively pursuing that wisdom. He's going to give it to you. You're going to grow in that. You're going to understand the fear of the Lord. You're going to understand justice and righteousness and more. And he has purposes for that. Purposes of protection, even in a fallen world. Purposes of blessing as you follow after him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful that you have given us this revelation of your ways. We pray that each one of us, whether we are young or old, whatever our circumstance in life is, that we would actively pursue wisdom. That our treasuring up of your word, our application of your word to everything around us, our fearing of you, our orientation toward you, and everything we observe in your creation would really dominate our lives, and you would have your way in our lives, your purposes flourishing in our lives of wisdom. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.